This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome. Today I have a very special show for you. This is Podcast 9, and today the topic is empowering children to learn. And I have a very, very special guest on the line that I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes. First, I want to thank our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and the Vintage Homeschool Moms .com sponsor, and that is Sony Pictures featuring the movie Smurfs The Lost Village. Be sure to check out the Christian study guide for this movie on our show notes page at VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Again, it's podcast 189. And also, I want to thank AffirmsFilms.com for providing this great film, and you can find out more at AffirmsFilms.com. Well, in looking over some of the things that you guys have requested, because I do get emails from some of you that share some things that you would like to see on the line, one of them was on teaching techniques. And recently, I was talking to my sister-in-law who came to visit, and that is who is on the line. So first, I want to welcome Jody Orr. Welcome to the show, Jody.
Good morning, Felice. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I had to not even twist her arm because we were talking recently, and Jody is, this was not in our pre-notes, Jody, so bear with me, but she is really amazing when it comes to working with kids, and especially little kids. We always have this standing joke in the family that I get them when they're babies, and then when they're not extremely stupid, as Jody puts it. She gets them when they're a little bit older and can learn. And we have this system going where, you know, she's incredibly good with little ones and even babies, although she won't admit it. you've had three girls, Jody, and they're all very successful. And so far, right. And so the last one's graduating from college, so I think out of the three with all college degrees, you've done extremely well encouraging your girls. And for those of you that don't know, I have four sister-in-laws, and my husband gave me the sisters that I never had. And they're all incredibly amazing. But especially when I looked at this, and I was sharing with you earlier, Jody, before we went live, that everybody has a teaching degree. Jeff does, I do. Your oldest sister, Julie, was a Spanish teacher in high school, and she even taught a homeschool co-op for a while. Your youngest sister, Jeannie, is a high school English teacher, and then you and Janice have other degrees, but you also have both substitute taught, and we're going to share a little bit about some of what you have done in just a bit. But, you know, one of the things that I'm amazed at is, you know, when I watch you with your kids and even with your grandkids, and we were talking recently, and, you know, I was talking about the fact that so many times when I hear parents sharing information, you know, like just, well, I don't know how to get my kid to do this, this, or this, you always seem to have an answer. You know, you probably don't think you do. But I think one of the things that I love is that you let kids be themselves. So just share a little bit about, you know, what you're going to talk about today.
Okay, well, when you invited me, it did make me stop and think about what I do and why I do it, and maybe even a little bit why that it almost always works. And I guess I think back at the time when I was in school and I got my degree in human development, and it was just a perfect fit for me. I learned all about life from its beginnings to its end, and it was just me. It was so me. So I was able to take that degree, and it just naturally fit no matter where I was. And so then when I had Kathleen, my first one, I think I just naturally fed her curiosity. And I think that's where it starts, is that a lot of teaching comes really from the children, from the child's observation and curiosity, and it's our privilege to go on that journey with them.
Very good. And, you know, I've watched you interact with the kids, always impressed. Jody's always wherever the kids are. So whenever we have our big family get-togethers, Jody's very rarely hangs out with us. She's mostly with the kids. I think you've changed, you know, now that you don't have little ones anymore, but you always, you know, the kids just gravitate to you, Jody. I really think it's a gift. You do hang out with us a little bit more now.
Thank you.
Maybe we're not as interesting, maybe. Oh, gosh. But one of the things, you know, I wanted you to share is with moms, because, you know, we have a homeschool audience here, and mm-hmm. you did not homeschool, but you almost did in a way, because you worked so much with Kathleen, who ended up, you know, as we've always said, she's extremely bright, and she is definitely gifted. And you just brought out her love of learning, and, you know, almost to the point where, you know, she went to school. I don't know that they taught her that much there. You did some things with her at home, and then you ended up starting a small little preschool with your friends. So tell us about that.
We did. We were we all went to Gymboree, and we all went to the park, and we did stuff together. And our girls were about 3, maybe 4. And all of us were either at home, or the one lady worked from home. But she, you know, so she had her daughter there, and we all just had the one. So we decided that it would be so much fun to start our own little preschool, just us. Right. And rather than doing everything separately. So that seemed like a good idea until like the very first meeting or preparing for the very first little get together. And you realize, oh, my goodness, like I have to have a plan. I have to have structure. I have to, you know, have things for them to do. And you realize that as much fun as it is to be spontaneous and how much learning goes on just in living, that when you are actually focusing on educating and you're actually trying to have an outcome, that it really is a lot of work. It's a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work, and I really did enjoy it. And we probably started with science. So just living in Virginia, the seasons, and just exploring outside. That's where we started. And but even that required preparation, you know, me learning and making sure I knew what I was talking about and the other mommies, and then planning activities to actually enhance and carry over what we were talking about or reading about in a book.
Yeah. It always seems like, you know, we can do kind of wing it when we're on our own, but then we're responsible for other kids. So that's cool. So you started with some nature science of things. And I know just having visited you, and I tend to visit probably you more than my other sister-in-laws, and hopefully nobody else is listening to this podcast. but because you live right outside of D.C., and there's just so mm-hmm. much to do there. So we've gone on family vacations. We descend on Jody first, and then we go up to the mountains or into the city. And I know that you have even created study guides to go along with some of the museums there.
I what have.
The
we
that, Yeah.
We went to the, let's see, Natural History Museum, and we did this as moms, and we went to the zoo, and at the zoo we had a really fun scavenger hunt. And, you know, like you have to tailor whatever you're doing to the age group that you're working with. But I even went with my Girl Scouts, who were probably in third grade at the time. And I just used basically the same event, but, you know, increased the level of knowledge that was being shared, and ask them a little bit of more leading questions that they could think about as they were visiting or trying to find all these different animals in the zoo. But at the Natural History Museum, the dinosaurs were there, and the children were really interested in the archaeology part. So we had spent some time just looking at the process of unearthing, and then it made us talk about Earth and rocks, and there you go.
Yeah, spirals into what typically happens in a homeschool classroom. And so, you know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I was, because in talking to you, you were talking about you have a philosophy of education, and I think that's important, you know. I just didn't realize you had one, because, you know, when we get
Well, in a little bit, event, I didn't either.
Oh, really?
I think that, you know what I mean? Like, the first time somebody asked me about that, then I had to put it into words. And so then I had to reflect, and it's just been so good for me, because I actually had looked at taking a position at one of the universities in Washington, D.C., where I had a chance to mentor some of the students at this university who were going to be volunteering in some of the local preschools. And just thinking about that opportunity, I didn't get the job, but thinking about that was such a blessing that I was able to, for the first time probably, write down what did I believe and what did I think. And so what I kind of came up with was what I alluded to sort of with Kathleen, was that I felt like I needed to give the authority and the power to the child, to their learning. And I think that when you empower the child to be confident in their ability to learn, that they will be so receptive and they become part of the process. And there's so many ways that you can do that as a mom and as a teacher, to include the children and empower the children to become part of the we of learning. So it was, we are all going to wherever, or we are going to start learning about something. And I think maybe it's not the best thing, but I think that they understood that I went on that journey with them, that I increased my knowledge, I increased my experience, and I, you know, along with them. So we were all there together. And I think they're super receptive to the idea of being empowered and wanting to learn, because we are all doing it together.
Well, I think that just sums up too what we do as homeschoolers, because a lot of times we are looking at things that we don't know, you know, because people say, well, how can you homeschool? You don't have a background in such and so, you know, like, for example, I laughed that I wrote a science curriculum because I didn't like science, you know, and then I ended up having a child, Neil, who loved, just as Kathleen did, the nature sciences, and Neil loved the pond, and he wanted to know, you know, what all these different things ate, and could he catch fish, and on and on and on. And so I had to learn it with him and bring him to the nature, you know, places, and, you know, get the year long membership and things like that. And so a lot of times, you know, I would say, I don't know, we have to look into this together. And so that really helps when we show our children that, you know, this is what education is. It's finding out the answers and finding it together. And, you know, I love that, Jody. I did a podcast a while back on each family coming up with their mission statement and philosophy, because it's the same thing. You probably are doing it. You just don't know exactly what that is, and getting everybody on board for what your, you know, your goals are as a family. And I'll post that link on the podcast notes. But I want you to share a little bit too about, you know, your experiences, because I think a lot of moms listening will probably have some of these similar experiences. So why don't you share those with us?
With about what I do?
Like some of the things you did, yeah. Like, what? No, just like, you know, you worked in the Girl Scouts. And.
Oh, I did, yeah. I have had a long volunteer career, as well as being a paid employee of some really great organizations. So I have been super lucky. I was something like, oh, it's embarrassing, I think, a little bit. I probably 14 years with the American or the Girl Scouts of America. And I was a preschool teacher, and I've been a Bible study volunteer in the children's program. And I substituted in the public schools, which I did really young, and then I've returned to. And I've been a preschool director. So those are, and the, you know, and then the random sort of, you know, muscular dystrophy and Easter seals sorts of volunteer stuff, but that don't really apply to my actual contact with children. But I have done a lot of that, and I have to tell you, see, Girl Scouts and those sorts of things, there is a, you know, classroom sort of management technique that's embedded in those programs that we moms could learn from. And one of them was that, like, I had Girl Scouts meeting in a library at the school. Well, guess what? It wasn't a library when I was there. When I was there, it was our Girl Scout meeting place. And, you know, the little girls had their uniforms on, and the little girls had little sit-upons to sit on, and we had our own books, and we had all those little pieces really equal to this ownership and this identity that we are now Girl Scouts. We aren't just little people at the school. We're not in second or third grade. We're actually now Girl Scouts. So when I had a classroom of my own, that sort of thing was the same thing that we, you know, it's kind of a natural thing that if you don't think about it, you don't realize why it's important, that you create this space and this atmosphere where teaching and learning is going on, and we kind of visibly establish that it's a we situation. We are now here all together to learn. So that's just one of the things that, like, being parts of these bigger organizations, you know, like, they're just little nuggets that doing that, having a mascot, having a theme. Like, one year we were, we called ourselves the Explorers, and one year we were all-stars. But it, whenever I spoke to the group of 18 children, I would say, we, you know, let's go all-stars, let's go Explorers, we're all going to do blah. And because I had a we, I had a physical we, I had something that they could relate to, they understood that they were, that we are all on this adventure together to learn something. And all of the routines and rules and behavior strategies were now in effect. And I also had them go on that little journey with me, and they all agreed at the beginning of the year, because I sit down with all of my classes, and we just sit down and discuss that if we want to go on this learning journey, there are safe ways of going on the journey. And a lot of my rules or guidelines or whatever hinge on safety and respect, kindness, and friendship. So based on those things, we can now all function as a group, and they all agree that, oh, those are good rules. We all function for the rest of the school year under that umbrella. And, you know, it's they buy in, and I buy in, and we just create this really sweet community of educator, learner, and adventurer. And we just go on this learning adventure together, and that's so much fun.
I know, and that, and as I'm listening to you, I'm sitting here smiling, because what Jody tends to do, and I'm sure those of you listening can hear it, is she gets so excited about it that the kids, you know, find it all contagious, and they get excited too. We are going to take a really short commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to delve into more of the things that you have done to successfully help kids learn, Jody, as well as helping parents with some great ideas. We'll be right back.
Now, the Blue Crew is back.
Let's go have some fun.
In their first fully animated adventure.
Nailed it.
To escape a dangerous, undiscovered world, the Smurfs will have to team up with a whole new tribe.
A village full of girls.
Hey,
freak out!
Smurfs, The Lost Village, rated PG, exclusively from Affirm Films. Get a free Bible-based discussion guide. Visit AffirmFilms.com to download it for free and enjoy great discussions with your whole family about the importance of purpose, friendship, honesty, and loyalty, as seen in Smurfs, The Lost Village, now playing.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz on the line with our special guest today, Jody Orr. This is Podcast 189, Empowering Children to Learn. And as I was listening to that little Smurf commercial we just played, it sounds like they took a little page out of your book, Jody, with, you know, all of these great things they're going to teach in this little movie, you know, very enthusiastically. So I want to thank Smurfs for being a sponsor of ours today, and visit them and the affirmsmedia.com for more information. And you can also download that study guide from our website at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, podcast 189. Well, Jody, you've been sharing with us some of the things that you have done, which I feel like you've done naturally. And for those of you listening as well, I've been after Jody to write this preschool curriculum that she has done for a while. You know, when your sister-in-law is a publisher, everything is a book. So my poor sister-in-laws have had to hear me say that. Actually, Janice, I think, finally is working on a Bible study, which is like a reflective thing. I know, right? So she just sprung that on me, and I thought, wow, that's exciting. So, but, you know, Jody, you have a lot of really good ideas. I know my daughter, who is homeschooling, her little ones always loves to talk to you and get ideas from you. But one of the things that we had discussed was also communication and how important that is as a piece of the puzzle. So share with us about that.
Well, when I communicate with, I do communicate with the children in a like person-to-person framework. Because I've been part of formal schooling, there's a lot of assessing that goes on. And so, you know, that human sort of factor can kind of get lost. So for me, it is really important to establish that trusting relationship. And it's in communication, and it's in affirming the child and their effort. And I think in the end, as educators, what you want to see is you want to see best effort. You want to see them really participating. But it's always a little bit hard to know if a child can't or if they won't. And so it requires you to observe. It requires you to communicate with the child and to try to see where their obstacles are, and then to give them the tools to overcome them. And sometimes that requires, you know, obviously talking to the child and observing them, but sometimes it requires speaking with other people who know the child, so their parents, and finding out what their observations are. And even in between the two parents, you know, a mom has a certain opinion of the child. The dad had a different opinion, and I've had some brothers and sisters come through the school. So, you know, like, it's a very interesting process to try to establish that communication and to affirm the child and the family that, you know, any obstacle is just something that is a learning opportunity. So you learn through whatever it is you're struggling with, or and acknowledge that that's just part of life, that there are struggles, and everybody has strengths and weaknesses, and they're not all the same, and that's okay. And what we do as humans, we always want to do what we're good at and not do what we're not good at. So it's requires me to communicate sometimes to the child that, you know, I know that this isn't what you want to do, but if you practice it and try it, you'll get better at it. And I give them the time and the space to do that while I'm encouraging them and affirming them that their efforts are valuable.
Well, that's very good, Jody. So, you know, I was sharing with you earlier before we went live, and that is, you know, when you're talking about communicating, I've had one who is speech delayed, and, you know, another, as you know which child this is of mine, that doesn't talk a lot. And I was surprised at your answer to that. What do you have to say to a parent if they say, you know, well, my child really doesn't communicate well or really talk a lot?
Well, that's okay. I have had students, honestly, I have had students for an entire school year that maybe said good morning to me. And so, of course, you know, as a educator, I want that relationship with the child. But you know what? She had active listening. She looked at me. She was listening. She was participating in her nonverbal behaviors and her body language. But I think what you have to do is respect that child and what their personality is and what they're comfortable with, and include them. Everybody, you know, like everybody has strengths and weaknesses, like I'm saying. And so I always think it's important to take each child where they're at. So whoever they are, whatever their skill level, whatever their knowledge base is, that's who they are. And then, you know, in their own time, children develop. But you know what? There are adults who are not real talkative. They're not teachers probably, but they're not real talkative. So I think that you have to respect who they are and not ask them to be something they're not, because you know what? They're really good at something else. And you will discover that when you look at them through eyes that say, everybody has strengths and weaknesses, and I'm going to discover yours, and I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to allow you to be you and bring you on this journey, and maybe you'll feel comfortable to speak, and maybe you won't, but that's really not what I'm going to get stuck on.
Right. That's very good, and not necessarily on the topic of communication, but even on play. I was talking to Christina yesterday, and that's my daughter, for those of you listening who don't know. And she's got 7 little ones and, 6 mobile. One, he looks like he's ready
6
to stand
that
up.
I love. The baby,
I know, right?
Not yet.
Christopher.
I'm waiting on
so,
him.
I know, right? That's okay. I can play with him right now. But the funny thing was, she was explaining how her number 3 child, she's got the 2 girls and then mm-hmm. William, number 3, mm-hmm. and she was explaining how he loves to play by himself, and how she, you know, her quandary was, you know, she's so cute. She goes, well, I have a homeschool question, but we were talking about this other thing first, and I vetoed her great idea that she read on some blog post, which was about doing science 1 hour a week. And I'm like, no, it's immersion learning, which we'll get to in mastery. I'm jumping around here. But we were talking about, his love of playing alone. And she said, you know, I hate to tell the other 2 boys to leave them alone, because then there's Alex and Benny who come after mm-hmm. William. And the 3, you know, the 3 little boys are in the middle. And then there's Olivia and then Christopher. So, you know, he's kind of sandwiched in. And I said, you know, just get them doing something else. It's not necessarily saying, oh, you can't go play with William because he likes to play alone. But she explained this one situation. And he had taken string, toilet paper rolls, little action figures, and her schoolroom is a no toys zone. But she said it was so intricate and so amazing, she actually took pictures and counted it for school. I love it. But
yeah,
she said,
see,
you know,
that's for engineering. Go him.
I know, right? But he had some kind of slide thing, and then it cut a roll in half, and, you know, put his little guys on there and used the whole roll of tape and, you know, and stuff like that. She's just like, oh my gosh, trying not to be angry that he used all the tape. And so, it was amazing, and that was because he had that, you know, 20, 30 minutes where the other little ones were doing something else, that she had him in the other part of the house, and he was doing that. And I said, you know, he needs that time because he's one, he may not like math and reading as mm-hmm. well as some of the others, but he's learning, and that's his, like you said, his engineering little creative outlet. So it's difficult sometimes because we want our kids to fit into these little pegs, and I'm going to be doing a podcast on evaluating our kids, because we have to do that too, Jody, as homeschoolers. We have to show that we have made progress each year, and that progress may look different for different children, depends on where you live, what state, and how strict or lax, say, you know, have an evaluation as opposed to having to take a test. So those are all important. One thing I wanted you to share as well, kind of goes along with giving kids space, is the ability to have a routine, and how, as much as I do not like routines, as you know, to have that ability with your children to have a routine, and why that is really important for children.
Well, for me, I always felt like the routine was a matter of trust. They could count on me that certain things are going to happen at certain times, and they could count on it. And children, you know, as much as they seem like they're all real free spirits, there is a certain, I think, a base inside them that wants to be able to predict what's going to happen next. And then within that structure, they can figure out how they're going to plan their interactions and what they're doing, because they know there's a natural end to whatever we're doing. So there's a natural end to, you know, when we're doing skill work, and there is a natural end to when we go and have our reading time and we're sitting in a circle and we're discussing a book, we're reading the book and laughing about the book. But they understand that if they have a routine, that they can feel safe and they can trust it to happen 9 times out of 10 exactly the way it's supposed to. And I spoke a little bit about that with the rules. Everybody knows mm-hmm. what the rules are. And there's a certain amount of safety in that. They know what the other children are expected to do. It's kind of an unwritten contract between me and them and between them and each other. And so because of that, there is a certain freedom that they have to interact with me, to plan their own time, and to do what they're, you know, what there are certain things that certainly they're required to do. And then there's a time when there's free play. They count on that free play. And if I don't get to the free play, then I've broken my contract with them. And, you know, there's that moment there where, you know, you can't do that every time, and you know that you can't because they're looking forward to that too. And, you know, as far as like making, trying to help all different kinds of learners, you know, there's, I think they call it, I can't remember, there's a name for having different ways of learning, that some of these children learn best through doing, and some through dramatic play, and some through singing. Right. So that when I teach something like trees, for instance, I have books. So those who enjoy books and discussions, they get that. We also go out and touch the trees and explore the trees and talk about the bark and identify the parts and measure. And we pick out a tree that we love, so now they own it. So now, you know, those learners are all happy. Then there are some who only want to really participate in the dramatic play part. There are some who don't want to do that at all. They want to be the seed, and they want to have roots, and they want to have their trunk, and they want to have branches, and they act it out for me. But all children are given the opportunity to participate in all these different kinds of learning, and even artistic creations. The oldest one, who's an attorney, did not like to participate in artistic creations. But, you know, she was given the opportunity to do it, and, you know, in her own way, right? So in her own way, she participated. I think exposure to all these different kinds of learning are important, and I think that you're going to see their strengths come out in whichever one is their way of learning. And you're going to see their best effort there. Everybody needs to try in every different circumstance, but you're going to see that they shine doing it this way, or they shine doing it that way.
Right. And then I think what I love is that you're very encouraging, and that's important too. And that's something that sometimes we forget as homeschoolers, because, you know, we're around them all the time. But, you know, that's good, and it's the different modalities and the different ways mm-hmm. that children learn, and that's when you get into mastery. I know that, you know, our brother-in-law is really big on mastery education, and we did a American history and American government class that really, that is the focus, mm-hmm. and that is available on mediaangels.com. Plug that set, because it's really for upper elementary all the way to mm-hmm. high school. Michael,
fabulous,
my
teacher,
youngest,
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, he is. He is. And so that was, you know, his focus, and he did that within a public high school even, and then he mm-hmm. created that class for homeschoolers. But you also, you know, we discussed that, and I really want to do a whole nother podcast on mastery learning with you for the little ones, because, and not necessarily even just the little ones, because obviously you can do it throughout, but on how you do that and what that looks like, and especially, you know, when we were discussing it, because you did it within a classroom setting, and I was, you know, trying to translate that into a homeschool setting, which, you know, I used to say to parents, when I would talk to other parents about homeschooling that weren't homeschooling, and, you know, they would talk about their kids in math or English or science, and I would say, I know where my kids are. I know what they know, because we are right there with them as they're learning. But that is something that you did as well in the classroom. So share with us first about the mastery learning and how you were able to have them give you evidence that they knew the information.
And that's really, yeah, how I guess sort of define mastery, is that tangible evidence that they are learning and that they have walked away from all those experiences, the books, the discussions, the explorations and observations, the dramatic play, the artistic creations. They've walked away with a little nugget of information and knowledge and experience that they will never look at the world again the same way. They have seen trees their whole life. But now they really, truly, you know, have a very substantial kind of knowledge about a tree. And certainly over the years they will learn more more specific information and many more details. But you know what? They have a solid foundation. And they've also learned that there's something to learn. That's not just, you know, a tree. And now they know there's so much more to it. So in a formal school setting like I was in, and even with my Girl Scouts, there is a sort of unwritten, sort of, maybe even only in my mind, of a requirement that I want them to validate all of their efforts. So I don't care if it's a coloring page, it's a dot to dot, I don't care what it is. Before you turn it in, before you're finished with it, you bring it to me and you quote unquote, and you can't see me, but little air quotes here, you read it to me. Tell me what you just did. Tell me about this. What is this? You know, if we are coloring in trees and counting them, then we're going to count it all together, and I'm going to notice that that tree is purple, so that must be a spring tree with blossoms on it, or this tree over here is orange, so there's a fall tree. And, you know, so we, you know, I take every opportunity to reinforce the learning, the information, the instruction, the knowledge, but I also, they have an opportunity to share with me. So by the end of a theme or a topic or a unit study, by the end of that, they can take all their pieces, everything, and they can verbalize, or they can, the ones that don't really want to talk about it, they are proud of their creations. And you know what? If I am talking about the roots, they are not looking at the branches. If I am talking about the chlorophyll leaving the leaves, they're going to notice the fall tree. Those sorts of things, you know, when you empower them with words and vocabulary that they can now possess and they can use and they can understand, that's so empowering. And it's such an opportunity for them to master whatever it is, whether it's the solar system or trees or rocks, whatever, plants, bugs, whatever it is. My guys walk away knowing why we did it, where they came from in the beginning, and what they know now. And they feel so smart. They feel very accomplished. And that, to me, is the empowering mastery, that they can pull out all of their evidence and they can talk about it with their parent if they want to. They can talk in their own little heads to themselves about it. They put it up in their rooms and they celebrate their own learning and their own mastery.
And that is such a great example of getting kids to love learning. You know, I remember when I was homeschooling my youngest three, Christina came over and she had a little talk with me, and Jody, you know the story, but about how the kids were complaining about school and how I wasn't making learning fun. And I have a friend who hates the word fun and learning, but the first book I wrote was Teaching Science and Having Fun. So there's definitely has been a fun element in the learning. But I was getting so overwhelmed with just getting done with our day rather than looking at each kid and their strengths and their weaknesses and working toward that. So I did take a little bit of break from, you know, the text and the workbooks, and we went more back to what my core had been with the two oldest ones, and that was unit studies and being able to present. Yes, there are a lot more work to do on the parent side, but it's kind of what you're talking about here. You're taking one topic and really delving into it for mastery learning and then moving on. You know, mm-hmm. It's part of a picture, you know, the landscape. And, you know, being up north, you guys get the fall leaves, you know, and you're outside of D.C., so you get those beautiful purpley blue spring flowers.
We do.
The cherry blossoms that we don't get here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't do a book on fall leaves, or like we did, we came and visited you, or you sent to us many times.
I was
times,
just
going to
say, leaves. I think I sent you some. I did.
You did.
I put those guys
yeah.
in a great big Ziploc with some water.
Yep, she did.
Them down there.
Yeah, she did. And so, you know, you still can study that stuff and then put them in a notebook, and you were sharing that you did that with mm-hmm. your kids as well. But we're almost out of time, but I want to get to what I consider one of the most important things, and that is affirmation. It really encouraging your kids. Again, I shared a little bit earlier, we're around our kids 24/7. So sometimes we forget, because they're underfoot all the time, that, mm-hmm. you know, we need to encourage them, kind of catch them being good, working along that route. And you're very good at talking to kids, you and Christina especially, at talking to kids like they're real people, like they're adults. You don't treat them as equals, mm-mm. you still expect respect from them, but mm-hmm. you encourage them to succeed, which is what this whole podcast has been about. So just share about the affirmation and how important that is as parents, that we encourage our kids.
Well, I think you've hit it is a key, and I think that that is something that I think I admire most about homeschool parents is that you know, when you work at home and you teach at home, and it's a big responsibility, and it's I think a difficult responsibility. And to take the time to kind of separate the child who is the son or daughter and the child who is the learner is important, because you know, a child that maybe misbehaves, they actually may be an amazing student. And when they put on that little hat and sit on that little carpet square, they're all about the learning. So I think that, again, like strengths and weaknesses, but I think it's important to acknowledge who the child is, you know, like, so, you know, I think some of it is like we maybe sometimes don't have real clear vision of who they are and what skills they have and what they can and cannot accomplish. And I always give the child the benefit of the doubt. I try really hard to, you know, like find out who they are right now. Like we talked about that in place. And then we're going to mm-hmm. build from this moment forward and up. And, you know, I was very fortunate, and I kind of got to do this with my little Girl Scouts, and I did this in the Bible study, that I talked individually, because I had like a co-leader with my Girl Scouts and in the Bible study too, and that I had an opportunity to speak with each child individually, and we spoke about where do you want to go? What do you want to learn about? What is it that you can or cannot do that you want to either do better or learn to do? And if it is in my power to help you, to increase your opportunity, to be successful at that, that's what I want to do. So, you know, I always felt very fortunate that I had the opportunity when I was teaching to meet with the families and the child separately, individually. I went into their homes and I met them right where they were physically. But also I had an opportunity, a little snapshot of who they are at home. And then I got to see who they are at school, and somewhere in the middle is who they are. And so I think it's really important to encourage their effort to create a sense of trust and to empower them with the idea of possibility that leads to improvement and advancement.
Right. And if we could just distill that down into a perfumed bottle and put it on our kids, that would be great.
Yeah.
We'd be doing really well. No, but it's great. And I think that, you know, a lot of times that just we need to be reminded of that, especially as homeschool moms, and especially if you have more than just, you know, two or three little kids around, it mm-hmm. it gets to the point where, you know, it can be weighing on you. Well, Jody, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all of these great tips. And I hope to have you back to really delve into some of these aspects that we've talked about in the future.
Thank you for having me. It was lots of fun. I enjoyed it.
Oh, great. Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Again, this is Podcast 189, Empowering Your Child. You can find the show notes at VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. And a big thanks again from the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and Vintage Homeschool Moms to Sony Pictures featuring the movie Smurfs, The Lost Village. Be sure to check out the Christian Study Guide for this movie on our show notes page, and also the movie at AffirmFilms.com. Thanks so much, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.